Blog Talk Radio.
You try, but you never win. There's no retreat, no giving in. You try, but you're gonna fail. To the king himself.
You try, but you never win.
Dollar foot long fantasy football week 13 wrap up. El Kamish coming at you. Justin is on assignment today at home waiting for a washer to be delivered. So for now, you can sit back and enjoy the easy listening of me talk about crap for about a half hour. I'll be joined shortly by the fantasy Peyton Manning Kevin Reeder, and we will go over the week 13 happenings, who won, who lost, and probably we'll touch on some other stupid things like we always do. What I'm probably going to do is start with, like Justin does, start at the bottom, work our way up. We can talk about who made the playoffs this past week, finalize the standings of who made the playoffs and who's out, and set up a very exciting week 14 first round of the playoffs. So the first matchup we're going to look at, starting at the bottom, is the happens to be the Cowboys versus my team, the 69ers. And I got the victory in that one, 214 to 159. Danny had a bit of a rough week. He's had, you know, actually a bit of a rough season to go along with. With the drubbing that I handed him this past week, really, it was kind of the same story. My team, I got some good production from Breeze, Ingram, Lamar Miller. Recently picked up David Johnson, got me 30 points, and then I had a solid, real solid performance from my team defense and two IDPs. I was looking for that magic number of 50. I think I had close to 80. Which has been kind of my saving grace throughout most of the year. As far as Danny, he had just mediocre performances from pretty much everybody. A lot of the guys on his team, for the most part, have been kind of boom or bust. LeGarrette Blount, 10 points. DeMarco Murray, 4. LaFell, 5. Dez Bryant, 12. The lone bright spot was Javorius Allen, had 42 points. He's been a beast, unfortunately, for Danny. He's going to be on his roster sitting at home while the rest of us are in the playoffs. But, hey, you know, credit to Danny. You know, he tried throughout the season, made some moves here and there. It just didn't work out for him this season. You know, Eli Manning underperformed a lot of weeks. Dez Bryant was out most of the time. And, you know, when he did play, the poor quarterback play led to really a lot of the bad point performances really from Dez Bryant. Really looking at the bench, you know, I don't think, you know, Danny had Ryan Fitzpatrick there, had 42 points, which would have helped. But, you know, really, and, you know, and for me, I'd, you know, my mediocre bench did mediocre things. I think they got a total of 102 points. Danny's bench had 121. So actually really good point totals there from the benches. But, you know, nothing that's really going to change the outcome of that. And even if had Danny won, I think a lot of things had to have happened in order for him to make the playoffs. I think he would have had to have won by, like, you know, 400 points. He would have had to have, check that. I don't think there's any way he could have made the playoffs, even with a victory, no matter the point total. So, like I said, I got the victory in that one, 214 to 159, and Danny is going to be home for the playoffs. And moving on to the next matchup, like I said, starting from the bottom, working way up, Always Argyling, Richard's team, taking on the ice-cold Brewskis in that matchup. And Reader got the victory in that one, 219-187. This has been, the story essentially for the year. For Reader, he gets solid production from LeSean McCoy, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, and A.J. Green finally had a bit of a I don't know. He showed up and actually had a good game, had a lot of targets, made the most of those targets. You know, A.J. Green's kind of been one of those guys this year that's he's sort of boom or bust. He's either going to get you 40 points or he's going to get you 10, and this one he got 31. Tom Brady does Tom Brady things, even though they were down late, and Brady did not look really that good throughout the game. A lot of pressure on him, but he ended up with 51 points. And Richard, he had pretty much what has been a consistent theme throughout the season. He put up 187 points in the loss. And, he's unfortunately going to go home as he missed the playoffs. But, hey, real quick, I think we got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey. So we're now joined by Kevin.
What is
going on? Not much. I was just rambling on. I already made it through one of the matchups from Week 13, and I was actually on your matchup talking about you versus Richard, saying you got the 219-187 victory, and that Richard put up a good point total, but got the loss. And then you called, and there you are.
I will say this: you and I have talked about this a little bit. I am completely shocked that Richard's not in the playoffs. That he has a very solid team. I know he's gotten complete drivel from the quarterback position most of the year, but the rest of his team is pretty darn good. And for him to not be in the playoffs, I feel that was someone that could have contended for the title not playing for it all.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at his team. Let's take the quarterback out of this, but let's just look at the rest of his offense. Todd Gurley, Jonathan Stewart, Allen Robinson, Calvin Johnson, Latavius Murray, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, who for the most part had pretty much a down season, but he's good in spots. I mean, that team is, I said it before, it's probably the best team so far overall that's going to miss the playoffs, and I don't think it's even close.
And I'm sure that makes Richard feel so much better hearing you say that.
It does, yes. Yeah, there's not much saving grace to that. I mean, but had he won this matchup, I believe he would have made the playoffs, and he would have knocked Justin out based on points. They would have had a similar record, And this was a tough matchup. You put up 220 points. He sort of put up a buck 90, and that's with getting 8 total points from his IDPs. I don't know, what's his, Anthony Barr, I forget his name, the guy for the linebacker from Minnesota, didn't even play, or maybe he played, but he didn't record any points at all.
He got injured early.
Okay, so there were some points on the table. Randall Cobb, I just mentioned, kind of was good, good and bad this season, had 5 points. So, basically, had he won, he would have been in the playoffs.
He was in.
He was in, and he would have played me. I think so. I think he would have played me. I'm not sure exactly how it would have shaken out, and I would have probably lost in the first round. So, yeah. Anything else to add on your matchup? I went over the constant and consistent production from all of your offensive players, and that A.J. Green actually showed up.
No, other than I don't understand why my IDPs all develop HIV and can't tackle anybody. But
yeah,
moving along.
Well. So the next matchup is bye week, which is Justin's team versus illegal contact, which is Deshaun's team. Deshaun got the win, 219-177. A couple things here. Deshaun's team, good production from Dante Freeman, 20 points. Macklin had a good showing, 29 points. Antonio Brown doing what he does throughout the season, 41 points. Sammy Watkins, an excellent decision to play him there. He got 27 points. I know Deshaun got a little handcuffed there because Gronkowski was out, so he probably, you know, was forced to play Watkins, but he performed in that situation, putting up a good total. Justin's team, Carson Palmer, continuing to do what he's doing, which is pretty astounding fantasy-wise, put up 35 points. T.J. Yeldon had another good game, 33 points. Martavius Bryant had a good game. Pretty much any receiver from Pittsburgh is going to put up a good game. And then Eddie Lacy doing Eddie Lacy things and getting 0.8 points. That hurt him right there. You know, other than that, you know, decent production everywhere else. And, you know, I mean, what can we say? You know, Justin's team is, look, 177 points isn't bad. And bottom line, he didn't need to win to make the playoffs since you took care of Richard for him. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. As far as the benches, you know, not much really to say there as far as who to play, who not to play.
Just when you start to trust Eddie Lacy a little bit, he goes and misses curfew and gets benched.
Yeah, that's what it was, right? He missed curfew?
He's just unplayable. Yeah, I think that's what they said. He's just unplayable at this point.
Yeah, as far as fantasy is concerned, now Green Bay mostly, I assume unless there's a complete train wreck and other things happen, Green Bay is going to make the playoffs. I mean, Eddie Lacy has value in real football, but as far as fantasy football, when our last week is week 16, yeah, he's unplayable. I just can't trust him. You just don't know what.
No, and I don't know really what Justin's other options are, but there has to be someone that can get him more than 0.8 points on his bench. And
yeah,
I'm thinking he could pick up anybody that can get him 0.8 points.
Yeah, he has some pretty good options. I know. I think Alan Hearns for Jacksonville was he was either injured and just didn't play, but he has Danny Amendola, who is a good option, I think, in a flex. I think it's an excellent option. I don't know what their matchups look like. And then I think Justin dropped Willie Snead and picked up, is it Wheaton? Marcus, is that the guy's name for Pittsburgh, the receiver?
Okay.
Marcus Wheaton. I think he's kind of like their third option. But because Antonio Brown and Martavius Bryant have done such good things, Wheaton has kind of stepped up. And again, like I just said, any Pittsburgh receiver at this point is pretty good.
Yeah, they're chucking the ball all over the place, and D'Angelo Williams is still putting up solid numbers too. That's just a very good offense.
Yeah. And speaking of Deshaun's team, so he started Stafford. Stafford had a very good game for him, 29 points. But on his bench, he had Bortles and Roethlisberger, who each eclipsed 50 points. You know, it's amazing what Bortles has done this year, and Roethlisberger is just – you know, he's the guy that if he stays healthy, I mean, you kind of eye him up as – I didn't think he'd have that kind of year, but, you know, next year it's certainly – he's going to be a fairly high draft pick at some point.
He'll be interesting next year. If I'm Deshaun, I'm starting Roethlisberger every week, but just because I want to say this name, ever since Jim Bob Cooter took over as offensive coordinator, Stafford has played much better. And
is that
the
really
Lions
his name?
Have played much better. Yes, his name is Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah, so when he took over the offense, I mean they've won a couple pretty big games, and I don't know if does that, I'm assuming that correlates to when he started taking over the play calling duties.
Yes, their upswing in production has definitely coincided with his takeover, and you know Stafford actually remembers what color jersey he's thrown to most of the time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice win for Deshaun, you know, a little confidence going into the playoffs.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, so moving along to the most entertaining matchup of the week. That was Orton Hears a Who, which is Ange's team taking on Team Suckett, which is Trav's team, and Ange pulls out the barn burner victory, 233-220, in a matchup of seemingly two really solid teams at this point, and two certainly dangerous teams going into the playoffs based on a factor of good pickups and sprinkling in a little bit of luck. So, but with this, Ange had, there's not much else to say other than looking at the quarterback positions for both teams. Ange had Cam Newton, 61 points. Trav had Russell Wilson, 54 points. He's been on a tear of late. And Ange got really good production, like you mentioned, from D'Angelo Williams, 31 points. Mike Evans, another good game, 18 points. And Rawls, the running back from Seattle, 28 points, an excellent pickup there. She got really good production from her And she has for most of the year, too, from her IDPs and her team defense. I think she got about 70 points from them combined. And then Trav, it's been just an unbelievable run for Doug Martin this year, 26 points. Matt Forte's back in the fold, doing some good things, 30 points. Brandon Marshall, you know, unbelievable, 32 points. And Odell Beckham Jr., 35. So, and he didn't get quite the production from his team defense and IDPs, but really good production all around. And, again, both are very dangerous teams going forward.
Oh, absolutely. And they, I'm sure we'll hit on this later, they get a rematch in round one of the playoffs. And I think that is probably the most intriguing matchup, because I really feel that one team that absolutely, and not that every team doesn't have a chance, you know, you make the playoffs, but one serious contender is going out in round one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's,
I hope it's Trav, because the fate of my fantasy future is riding on him not winning.
I don't know. A lot of things have to go right for you to win a championship, and for Trav to win it all after that draft, a lot of things going right for him is an understatement. So.
And basically, considering he's made very few pickups. I'm still astounded by it.
You know, we talked about this. You look at his starting offense. You know, it's just his quarterback and his running backs, receivers, and flex. I mean, you look at Russell Wilson, Doug Martin, Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham. He also had Alfred Morris in his flex. Now, he picked him up recently. But there's other guys I mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, he drafted – that's from his original draft.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's
pretty much his whole team is his original draft.
Yeah, and that's rare. I mean, you know, look at Ange. You know, she's somebody who, she at this point has a really good team, because she's made some good pickups with Rawls and D'Angelo Williams. But, you know, looking at her team, you know, Cam Newton she drafted. Gio Bernard, I think she picked him up. I'm not sure if she drafted. But D'Angelo, Michael Crabtree, and Rawls were all pickups. And they're, you know, big-time contributors right now on her team. And but it just gives you an idea, you know, her team is drastically different. But Trav's is, like, pretty much from that August 22nd afternoon, it's the same team. And
well, the main thing with Trav, you and I discussed this the other day, is he is not – I mean, I know Forte missed some time, but he really has not had an injury on his team. Whereas Ange lost Keenan Allen. She lost Marshawn Lynch. You know, he's had a couple injuries that were big-time players, you know, and that's the one thing that Trav has not had versus a lot of the rest of the league. He has not had any serious injuries, and the guys he picked – have way overperformed their draft slot.
That's why
he is where he is.
And that's a good point about the injuries. I mean, the injuries pretty much, Ange made some moves throughout the season that weren't forced, but a lot of those injuries, they forced her hand to make pickups, and she's just done a great job in picking up the right people. I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that you live under the same roof, but you know, she's done a good job with those pickups.
It doesn't hurt. I'll say that.
Okay, so last matchup of last week was the Bashmasters, which is John's team taking on the Edskins, powered by Ed Smith, and John gets the absolute whooping of the week, 261 to 135. John's team, you know, this. I talked to him last week about this. He has so far made the two craziest pickup and plays of any quarterbacks I've seen so far this season. A handful of weeks ago, he picked up Kirk Cousins, started him. He got 45 points. This week, he picks up Mariota. He puts up 60. Like, that's crazy. Like, I just wouldn't have the balls to make those moves. He did it. He didn't need much this week to beat Eddie, but 60 points from his quarterback is certainly a good thing going forward. Jeremy Hill made an appearance, 25 points. He's been, I think, coming on a little bit of late. Sean Drone.
Yeah, because they keep giving him the ball inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, that tends to help, right? And Sean Drone, who he picked up, I think, a couple weeks ago, the running back for San Fran, and, you know, you and I talked about this when they made the switch to Blaine Gabbert, and Carlos Hyde was having his foot, you know, his foot issues, and we're like, you know, I wouldn't touch anybody there. But Drone's been because he's kind of a multifaceted back. He runs the ball. He catches it out of the backfield. He's, you know, he's been really productive. It's kind of crazy. Eric Decker has been, you know, he's the one. I bet he's the player that could win the award for most amount of points you would never know. Like, he's just been good every week, it seems like.
Very consistent.
And he got good
with his production.
Oh yeah, and exactly. It's just, you know, it's kind of, he's sort of had a quiet year. Now, if you play fantasy football like you and I do and other people do, you know it. But if you're, you know, a lot of people be surprised with what he's done this year. And then he rounded out, he had Alshon Jeffrey, Greg Olsen had good games. John has Denver's defense, which I looked it up. I think Denver's defense right now is 330 points, I believe, which is right now more points than the number one running back and more points than the number one receiver in our league. Denver's just been on a tear. And Ed's team was just terrible. So I'm not sure what else to say about Ed's team. With Peterson, bad week. Jeremy Langford not getting as many touches. Spencer Ware had an okay game considering he's splitting touches too. But Ed's team is hurting going into the playoffs.
Well, John's made some good moves, and you know, you touched on the quarterback situation. And I look at that two ways. Yeah, he's made some ballsy moves that have been really good, but that to me also speaks of what his overall quarterback situation really is. And that to me is not very good. If you're having to pick up Kirk Cousins for a 1 week play, you know, but he's done very well in the league this year. I mean, he drafted Peyton Manning, and we all know how that's gone. So he kind of has had to play the quarterback shuffle a little bit. Eddie, you know, his team is hurting right now because he made moves to pick up, you know, guys that were replacements for injured starters, and, you know, it got him the wins he needed to make it into the playoffs. Unfortunately, now a lot of those guys that he picked up are now back to their secondary roles, and that's part of the problem. You know, Andrew Luck getting hurt has really hurt T.Y. Hilton's value, and Amari Cooper, I don't know, he's just been very ho-hum the last few weeks after really coming out like a gangbuster early. And Ed's team's just underperforming right now. That's just what it boils down to. If Adrian Peterson doesn't put up big numbers for him, he doesn't seem to win.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and Ed's got – he has some guys. He has some options looking, you know, it this week. You know, he has some guys on the bench. Like, he had James Starks on the bench who's most likely going to start. He has James Jones. He picked up James White, I think, for New England. I think you mentioned that the other day. But he's got Tyler Eifert, who when he plays and is healthy, can put up some points. But yeah, for the most part, it's, you know, right now his team. It's just interesting. You look at his team 3 weeks ago, and Langford was going off. And I think ever since he picked up Langford, aside from Week 13, I think he won every week. And he was putting up good point totals. I mean, I could easily look at it, but I'm not. I'm just going to make up stuff. But I think he won every week since he picked up Langford.
I believe you're correct there, because he was on the fringe of the playoffs. And, yeah, he's the number 16 in our playoffs. So he found himself on the inside looking out, you know, very quickly, because he did go on a little bit of a win streak here to end the year. But I'm hoping that win streak and that good times stop very soon.
I wonder why that is.
And that sounds like a good segue to probably what you're going to talk about next.
Yeah, I'll just mention the matchups, and then you can kind of go from there. So the first round matchups are going to be it's 69ers playing against bye week. That's Justin. It's 1 versus 8. Orton here's a who versus Suckett. That's 2 versus 7. Your matchup, Ice Cold Brewskis against the Edskins, and then the last matchup is Illegal Contact versus the Bashmasters. So, yeah, I mean, you talked about your matchup with Ed. I don't know. You can go wherever you want with it.
Well, I mean, in the 1-8, you know, we can touch on each of them real quickly. The 1-8, you versus Justin. Obviously, you lost a big piece yesterday in Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
And I think that drastically changes the outlook of your matchup, to be honest. I know you have David Johnson, and we have quite the history of the 8 seed upsetting the 1 in our league. And no offense personally, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it again this year. It would not shock me with the injuries you've suffered. You still have a solid team, but so does Justin. And it's going to come down to matchups and, like always, who performs. But it would not be a shocker for me to see the 8-1 upset again.
Oh, not at all. I mean, you know, Justin's team, you know, really, if he gets a performance out of Darren McFadden, I mean, he has a really good team. Carson Palmer, T.J. Yeldon, Darren McFadden, Larry Fitzgerald, Martavis Bryant, Danny Amendola. That's a pretty good lineup. It's not a world beater, but that's a really good lineup. And he's got some good matchups with his team defense. He has Luke Kuechly, which you know and everybody else knows in this league. But he's got some good matchups. Just so you know, in the pick'em, and this is not a reverse jinx, like I did pick Justin to beat me. I just don't feel. I mean, look, my team's been smoke and mirrors all year, and it's about ready to come to an end at some point. Don't know when.
Well,
maybe this week or next week.
My pick after the Ingram injury.
Yeah,
I had you picked, and then I changed it after the Ingram injury. And I guess now we'll go to the 2-7, which is Trav and Ange, and that's another matchup that absolutely can go either way. Ignore the seed. Because Trav's team is firing on all cylinders, by far the hottest team over the last 4 weeks. You know, with Russell Wilson really figuring out how to play quarterback again, started off real slow, but he's been fantastic. Odell Beckham's really come on here recently. Brandon Marshall's been doing it all year. Forte coming back for Trav. He's got a very good lineup top to bottom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ian is very solid, too. And it's like I keep saying, it's all going to come down to who shows up. You know, it. You saw what they can do against each other last week. It was a very high-scoring, very close affair. And I really think it's a coin flip as to who – I think I picked Trav, but I can see Ange winning, and she did just last week. So it's really a coin flip in that matchup.
Yeah, and speaking of coin flip, you have two experts of picking, me and you, who've picked, for the most part, all year. So you picked Trav, I picked Ange. So, again, it's, you know, you've got two experts going against each other in that matchup.
Yes. And I think that's the only one we differed on this week, to be honest.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, yeah, okay. So that's right, because you just said you switched your pick. So, yeah, we're – I don't know. We'll see. And then, I don't know, your matchup against Ed, you know, really – look, some things could happen. I mean, you know, Peterson could go off. It's a tough matchup playing tonight against Arizona. You never know. I mean, Ed's got some options, and if he strikes – you know, if he gets – catches lightning in a bottle, he could maybe pull it off. But I think you know, your team is just—it's just too strong top to bottom.
Well, I would tend to agree with you, and I will not lie and say that I wouldn't be upset if I lost. But that being said, stranger things have happened. I've had better teams that have lost before. And
oh yeah, well, last year.
I'd like
point.
To think that I'm going to win, and obviously I wouldn't be happy with a loss. But hey, losses happen, and stranger things have happened than Ed's team beating me.
Yeah, that's true. Stranger things have happened. And then, real quick, got a minute and a half left. Last matchup is Dishong versus John. To me, this is another coin flip. I just don't know what to get out of this. Now, talking about John being the quarterback whisperer in fantasy, he's starting Jameis Winston this week, which not bad because they're playing New Orleans. But I don't know how this one's going to shake out. John's team on paper doesn't look that strong. Dishong's team does, but he's probably going to be without Gronk again. I don't know. To me, it's a coin flip. I'm not sure how you see it. I think I picked John, but I don't know. It was just a gut feeling.
I think I don't remember really who I picked, but just upon talking, I would feel Dishong should win. He does have some injuries, and maybe it's just because Dishong has more known commodities, if you will, to the fantasy community than John. You know?
Agreed.
But, yeah, this is definitely a coin flip that could go either way, and another one that, hey, someone who is a serious contender is going to lose in the first round.
Yeah, that happens pretty much every year. Well, hey, reader, we're almost out of time. thank you very much for joining the podcast like good old times.
It was fun. Yeah. I haven't got to do this in like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been a while. So, all right, guys. Well, good luck this week, and hopefully everybody loses except for me. Bye.